Praise ye the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi, and I want you to listen closely to the message I am bringing to you at this very hour. I want to talk today. I pray that the Lord will give you the understanding, and also will open, help me to be able to present this message so that it will make sense to you and make you understand. I want to talk today about the fact that Christ's power over death has been given to the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his supernatural power over physical death, and he has given this power to the body of Christ so that we don't have to fear the enemy. We don't have to be afraid of death because Christ has abolished death. I'm going to go from Luke chapter 8 and tell and read this episode of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 8 from verse 41 to verse 56. I will read in a moment. This is the story in Luke chapter 8, verse 41. We read that, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. And she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." Verse 45, "And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and said, Thou touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, the reason why I'm bringing this story in this particular sermon is to tell you about the power of Jesus that overcame death. Because in the next story, after this woman that was healed of the issue of blood, was the raising up of the daughter of Jairus. Before I come to that, I want to tell you the fact that it is not God that killed mankind. It is the devil. And the devil has some henchmen and hench spirits, called evil spirits, that he used. And there are some that have joined occultic groups like the witchcraft cult that also dispatch and send those evil spirits on errands to do wickedness. However, Christ has given us, we that have surrendered to Christ, we become also instruments of God for delivering souls from the power of darkness, so that we have the power to heal the sick and raise the dead. And that is the story that what I want to talk about. But I want to say a little bit about how I know that it is the devil that caused death, and how that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us power, supernatural power over death. But before I come to that story, let me come to the story of Jairus. Now, the daughter of Jairus was sick, and he came asking Jesus, begging Jesus to come and heal her. But as Jesus was going, a lot of people delayed Jesus on the way, and that was the story that I just read, the story of this woman that had the issue of blood. Now, while Christ was talking to this woman, in verse 49 of Luke chapter 8, so while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, for She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, that was the story of the Lord Jesus Christ raising the dead. When this story perhaps will have been broadcast, some of those critics will have said, well, maybe that girl was not really dead, but Jesus Christ said he will fix them in the next time. But what I want to point out in this story is the fact that Christ demonstrated his authority and power over death. When he arrived there, he simply called the little young girl to rise up, and the girl rose up. Okay, now let's go again to the story in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. This is the second time that the Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17, like I said, the critics that didn't believe Christ had this power, or they didn't believe the death can be overcome, they will have said, when they heard the story that Jesus Christ raised that little girl, maybe they will say, oh, maybe that girl was just in a coma, or maybe she was not really dead. Now look at Luke chapter 7 verse 11. And this is a different one. This is, if somebody thinks this is a coma, they were actually carrying this boy to the grave. In verse 11 of chapter 7, and it came to pass the day after that he, that is Jesus, went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bear him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about. Now, you will see this episode, the critics may say, well, maybe this was just a long coma. Because we have seen in the medical world nowadays that people that are in coma have been kept on their bed, and because they thought they were still not dead, they were just in coma for days, weeks. However, this was not a coma, because human beings know when somebody is dead. Of course, if they try to revive and they couldn't revive him for days, they most likely will go and bury him. However, if the critics think this was a prolonged coma, that maybe this boy was not really dead, the Lord Jesus Christ said he will fix them next time, because he wanted to demonstrate his power over death. Not only just to show that he has the power over death, but he is God manifested in the flesh. But this power is transferred to the body of believers, to the believers, anyone that will come closer to him. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, he declared in the book of Revelation chapter 1 that he has the keys of death and of hell. So we can go fearing nothing, because the devil has no power to kill anybody anymore. Even though the devil is still doing it, but if we belong to Jesus, we have the authority to resist the devil and keep the devil away from the saints. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from thee. And let me go again to the book of Romans chapter 8, just to point to the fact that we are called to be sons of God at this end time. This is the power Christ brought to us. In John chapter 1 verse 12, we say, as many as received him, as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now the power is to make us become sons of God. And what does sons of God mean? That is to come to the stature of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, which we preached before in Ephesians chapter 4, that the Lord Jesus Christ has put in his church, in his body, these ministries: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the edifying of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body, and for the work of the ministry. That is, these ministries are to build the saints until we arrive at the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that stature of Christ, what the Lord Jesus Christ manifested when he was on earth, that is the stature of a perfect man, the stature of a son of God. And that is the power he gave to us by the Holy Spirit, that we are to use the Holy Spirit to arrive at that stature of a son of God. So when you read Romans chapter 8, you can now begin to understand what God promised that we manifest. But this will manifest at the end of age. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, the Bible was describing to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, that for the earnest expectation of the creature, that is this planet itself, the spirit of this planet waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, you understand this, that the Bible said the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ manifested as the Son of God, singular. But he is going to bring many more sons to glory. That is, we saints that have been growing in Christ in our faith, we are to arrive at that stature of Christ to become sons of God. And at the end of the age, God planned to manifest his sons, the first fruits we manifest first. Because they will arrive at that stature of Christ first, before the rest of the Christian world. And those first fruits are predicted in the book of Revelation chapter 14 to be about 144,000 in the book of Revelation. Those are the people that were said they were redeemed from the earth, being first fruits unto God. Let's read that in Revelation chapter 14. And that is the manifestation. When they arrive at this fullness of Christ, they will manifest for a while on the earth in performing wonders like the Lord Jesus Christ performed. Now, because it will not be just one single person, there will be a band of believers. And the Lord gave this number here in the book of Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, you have to know, a lot of different religions or preachers may have their interpretation of this 144,000, but this is what the Lord has revealed to us. And I'm making it clear to you, known to you here. This 144,000 here are the first fruits that we are talking about. And he went further in verse 2, said, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Now listen to this. He's going to describe who are these 144,000. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits. I say that again, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, that is the summary of this 144,000. The key word is being the first fruits. Now let's go back into the scriptures and see what was the law concerning first fruits of the harvest that was given to Israel. And when you look at that law, you will see in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, when God was giving them the law, he said, when they harvest their land, they first must bring the first fruits unto God. They are not to eat it. And that first fruits of the harvest in Israel was to be given to the priest, which is given to God. Now, the Bible said, when the Lord Jesus Christ was given a parable, he said, the parable of the tares in the field. He said, at the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather first the wheat into my barn, and then burn the tares, bundle them in tares for the tares in bundles for burning. But put the wheat in my barn in the harvest of the one. He said, the field is the world, not just Israel, the world, this planet. And the Son of Man planted the good seed. And he said, at the end, the angels will be the harvesters. Now, look at this. When there is any harvesting, the first thing to do is to bring out the first fruits. That is the law of harvesting. In every farmer will tell you that there will be some that will grow fast and get ripened first. And the same thing in the Christian fold, there will be a bunch of bands of believers that will arrive at this fullness of the stature of Christ first. And that is the first fruits. And God is having a number of them that he is going to harvest them and take them in. And that is what he has put a number here that they must be. And it's not just from a nation, it is from all the earth. As Revelation chapter 14 said, some believers have thought, some churches have thought that maybe these are just Jews or Israelites. No, he said from all the earth. So this is telling us that among the band of believers in the Christian world, God will harvest the first fruits. And these are going to be manifested, because if they are first fruits, they will mean they arrive at the fullness of the stature of Christ first. And then they will manifest the sons of God manifestation that will be powerful. So all the revival that many people have been saying, God is bringing forth a mighty revival, it is the manifestation of these sons of God that will bring forth the mighty revival. Just think of the Lord Jesus Christ multiply 144,000, and they are all over the world doing those wonders. Then you know that will be terrible. That will be great. The devil will be in trouble. So just think about that. So whether they will be 144,000 manifesting or not, but God will get this 144,000 and make them go up as first fruits. And that is the law of the harvest. Now let's continue here, because what we are trying to point here, thrust here, is that Christ has demonstrated the power over death, and he's bringing this. He has given this power to the body of believers. But this power, we are to use the anointing of the Holy Ghost given to us and grow to become sons of God. And when we become sons of God, that is when all this power will be manifested and resident in us. Let's look again at Hebrews chapter 2. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is why I'm preaching this message. It is when you hear sound doctrine, sound message like this, it builds up your faith. It rouses you up to want to aspire to be one of the bands of believers that we arrive at the fullness of the stature of Christ. But we say, what do I have to do to grow, to arrive at that stature? You've got to follow the precepts of the scriptures. You've got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ closely. He said that, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, it's all in the sayings of Jesus. Search the scriptures, start from the book of Matthew and see all he said in the book of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Begin from there, putting those precepts into action. And then talking about faith in the Lord and in the word of God. Taking the word of God as it is written. No reasoning. You have to begin to nullify all the reasoning of the world and just believe like a child. That is the beginning of it. Then you begin to take the steps of exhortation, of waiting upon the Lord, fasting, praising the Lord, singing praise to God, and keeping yourself holy and in fear of the Lord. All of those things will make you move closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the faith of the Son of God then will grow in you until it begins to manifest. Now let's go again and see in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, where the Lord gave this power to the saints, the power over death. Let me read from verse 9. Here in the Hebrew chapter 2, verse 9, we said, let me start actually from verse 8, where Apostle Paul was describing an extract from the book of Psalms. See, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, under the feet of man. For in that he put all in subjection under him, that is under man, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. That is, we don't see any all things put under mankind yet. But we see Jesus, the first perfect man that manifested, Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, I want to stop right there and first tell you that Christ tasted death for every man. Now, if he has tasted death for us, we don't have to go through that death anymore, because he paid for it. He paid the price that we don't have to go through the grief anymore. But the just shall live by faith. He has left it unto faith, just like salvation. He has paid for all human race to be free from sin. But it's not going to be automatic. You've got to come to him and accept his offer and accept the sacrifice on the cross, that is for your atonement. Then you can be, and he will set you free from sin. The sinful nature will disappear from you. You will sin no more. And then you will be a saint of the Most High God. The same way, the power and faith over sicknesses and death will be manifested in you as you believe in that claim, that the Lord Jesus Christ claim right now, by saying he has power over death. He has said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That was a claim that he just claimed, that he has that power to keep us alive forever. You've got to believe that aspect of his claim, that he has this power, and then walk with him to claim this aspect of, to claim this power for yourself, that you want to live forever and never see physical death, because Christ is able to make it happen. Now, the Bible says he has already tasted death for mankind as the substitute for us. We were all doomed to death and destruction, but Christ came to substitute himself. He was the substitutionary sacrifice for every man, for all the human race. But the just shall live by faith. It is your faith in what I am saying here, in your faith in this word of God that I'm pointing out here, that we mean that you believe the promises and the word of God according to what the Bible said about this sacrifice of Christ. When you say you believe it and you begin to confess it, say your heart believes and your mouth confesses that, yes, I believe that Christ substituted himself for me. So he went to the grave, I don't have to go to the grave. He went to hell, so I don't have to go to hell. Hallelujah. Now he said, come unto me, and you can now begin to walk with him, and he will fill you with the Holy Ghost so that you can walk in peace and in perfect health in this life. And he is able to take you away from this planet in the rapture. You have to believe that rapture also, that it will take place one day. Now let's go on in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14 again. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You hear that again. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the fashion of a man. That was what he said, that he himself partake of flesh and blood, so that he could also lay down his life for us. Because he is God, in that state of being God, there's no way he could die. He has to put on a human flesh to come and die for mankind and taste death for us, to be a substitution for mankind. Think of a band of hooligans that have been dominating a village or a city. And this band of hooligans, no one can confront them. And they just take hostage and take slaves of anybody in that city, until there come a champion for that village or that city. And that champion, if he's going to be the champion for those people, he has got to go and confront those hooligans and fight them. Not only fight them and beat them up, he has to go to where they normally take the prisoners to and set the prisoners free from the hooligans. That is when he is the deliverer for them. That was what Christ came to do for mankind. Satan and his band of evil spirits were the forces that have been destroying and killing mankind since Adam, taking the souls of men to hell. Hell is a prison yard. We are souls of men that were not rescued from their hands by the angels, will be taken to hell. Now, when Christ came, he had to put on human flesh and also confront that Satan. He allowed Satan and his course of evil spirit to take him by death to wherever the devil takes human beings to, and then he whipped them there. That was what the Bible said. He led captivity captive and came back alive by himself and gave gifts unto mankind. And when he rose again from the dead, the Bible said he led captivity captive in Ephesians chapter 4. And now, when after that is done, he said he has the keys of hell and of death. That is the gospel, that we can go free now, not be afraid of the devil anymore because Christ has overcome the devil. Now, if you believe that, you've got to walk with Jesus and believe that and claim and confess that sacrifice, that substitutional sacrifice that he has done for you and for me. When you confess it, the Bible said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven that he might fill all things. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 tells us that Christ actually went down and then went up. After he went down, he conquered death, hell, Satan, and all the satanic forces, just like the champion for mankind. As a champion for mankind, he took captivity captive. All the things that have been taking men captive, Christ went and took them captive. And now he came back alive and he said, he has given unto us power to become sons of God. Believe this and walk with him, and you also will overcome sin, sickness, and death, and physical death. And that is the faith of the overcomers. And I want to tell you more about this in the next broadcast, but I want you to write, because a lot of literatures have been written on this that will be edifying to you. And we want to direct you to those literatures. On the internet, you can read all our literature freely. If you have access, a computer access to the internet, you can get all our literature at www.gospeldistribution.org. You have to spell it out, gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, distribution, D-I-S-T-R-I-B-U-T-I-O-N, .org. And if you send us email, we shall send you the monthly literature that will be edifying to you. This is the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Evangelist Julius Adewumi, Phoenix, Arizona, 85046, USA. Jesus Christ, he came and became the substitutional sacrifice for mankind. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe, said the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils. These are the power that he has brought to mankind. In the book of Mark chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ listed what you can begin to enjoy right now if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then you will grow to more things to even overcome death for yourself. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus Christ said, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel that we just preached to you about Jesus Christ being the substitutional sacrifice for mankind. That he tasted death for us so that we don't have to taste death, but you've got to walk with him by that faith. He took away all our infirmities so that we don't have to bear those infirmities and those sicknesses. You've got to walk with Jesus Christ by that faith, confessing this word of God that Christ has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Believe that and confess it, and you have victory. Also confess that by his stripes you were healed. He has already carried your sickness and diseases to the cross and nailed it to the cross. But you have to walk by that faith in those promises. Just like he has tasted death for mankind, we don't have to die physically anymore. You have to walk by that faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 8, verse 51, verily, verily I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. And these are the signs that shall follow them that believe. Once you begin to believe, this will begin to follow you. And then you have to grow unto the supernatural, more faith and more power. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I pray for you right now, Jesus. Make everyone that is listening be blessed and be healed. And tune us again next broadcast, and we shall tell you more. Write to us, and we shall send you some more literature. This is Evangelist Julius Adeyemi, Box 30387, Phoenix, Arizona, 85046, USA. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.